You want to do this again tomorrow?
Yeah, it was fun today.
All right. Guess what's coming up?
I know what's coming up.
What do you think's coming up?
It's the Grandy Man can and does.
Uh-uh.
No Grandy Man?
Nope.
Gucci.
Gucci.
Now we're talking. Brain dance. Now we're talking. It's Warriors Roundtable, you crazy people. And it's Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Hello, fellas.
Oh, we're standing by. And it's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for all the engagement. We appreciate it. For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
How about you? Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
What? We call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble between the legs. Offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Dana.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
What's up, folks? We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dana with the saintly one himself, Gary St. Jean, reminding you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. And later on the show, we'll be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game when we'll take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652. That's later on the show. If you want to talk Dubs with Saint and I, that is 888-957-9570. And Gary, there is a lot to get to this week. We will start with the transaction. Transactional news, the Golden State Warriors trading for Dennis Schroeder. Now, in this deal, Dennis Schroeder and a second-round pick going to Golden State. The Warriors giving up De'Anthony Melton, Reese Beekman, and three second-round picks. Saint, we're going to hear from Mike Dunleavy in a little bit, but I want to just kind of get your knee-jerk reaction to this move.
Beautiful piece of work by Mike and all his crew. That's just what the doctor ordered. You know, and that's a good usage of your draft picks. You've got an injured player. The key here is the salaries kind of line up. That's a good thing. Schroeder was like 13, and I think Melton's 12. And Beekman got put in there also because that's what the Nets wanted. And you're going to expound on him because you and I watched him in the summer league, and he caught my eye as a defender. But I think it's a big positive for the Warriors. Schroeder's a guy that he's pesky. He's a pain. You know, he just competes every single play. And he's going to have hot nights. He's going to have nights he's not so hot. But I promise you he's going to work like heck. And he's a guy that can give you minutes when Steph's out of there, and he can get you into your stuff. So I just think it's a beautiful move.
Yeah, you mentioned him being a pain. Steve Kerr made the comment that Dennis Schroeder has killed him across three continents. Of course, he had the 2023 World Cup in the Philippines, Olympics prep last year in Europe, and then, of course, in the NBA. And he was a big factor in Brooklyn's win over the Warriors earlier this year. He had 31.7 assists, hit four threes. This is what Mike Dunleavy had to say, and then, Saint, want to get your thoughts on Dunleavy's comments on what Mike had to say about what Dennis Schroeder brings to Golden State.
Clearly, with the DeAnthony injury, it became apparent that we need to shore up our backcourt. And Dennis is one of the guys and probably the best guy out there that's available to some degree. And so really, really fortunate to be able to get him. We're excited about it. We think it complements our team both offensively and defensively. His ball handling, I think, is going to help Steph, Brandon, and particularly when Steph's not on the court. We think his ability to play pick and roll, create offense, get us into stuff, just that added dimension offensively will give us a boost, which is just something we need. And then we feel on the defensive end, his ability to pressure the ball. He's pretty good off the ball as well for a guard size player. Fits in with everything we're trying to do. So this became a pretty clear target for us over the last week or so.
You know what, Kev? You and I really loved Melton. I just thought he was going to have a terrific year with the Warriors, and it's a shame he got hurt. But, you got to reload. And to bring this guy in, one thing that the word on him around the league is he's not intimidated by anybody. He doesn't care if he's matched up with Luka or Brunson or Curry or anybody else. He's going to get up into you and fight you and just really do a heck of a job. I bet a lot of people watched him play for Germany's team this past summer. He did a fabulous job. And he's going to give you everything he's got. And Mike's right on. They can use him with Steph. He can run pick and rolls and get Steph off the ball. Where, boy, if I'm defending, I don't want to play Steph off the ball. I think at least if you're playing pick and roll, you can double team him. And then when Steph goes out, he can run things for you. So I think you got a lot of happy people. I think this is a real positive move. Now, I'm not telling you this is the big move like getting Markkanen or Butler or somebody like this, but this is a very, very solid move for the Warriors.
Yeah, it's certainly not bringing Kevin Durant into the fold like 2016, but still a really nice move for Golden State. And I was listening to the Hoop Collective podcast run by Brian Windhorst, and Tim Bontemps, who comes on that show, he was saying, he gave this stat. Golden State's offensive rating with Steph on the floor is around 119 points per 100 possessions. That would be fourth in the NBA. When Steph is off the floor, that number goes down to around 101, which is like 2 points per 100 possessions below the worst team in the NBA, the Washington Wizards. That is a precipitous drop, and I think that's a huge reason why Dennis Schroeder is coming to San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a glaring stat. That, you know what, you can't argue with that. That's the truth, and you got to shore it up. There's no doubt about it. And you know, this guy here, I think it's guys like Draymond, they're gonna love play with him. They really are. He's Draymond's kind of guy. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and that's Draymond had some interesting comments about him because he said, look, Dennis Schroeder wasn't traded for to fit into the Warriors' mold because he is not exactly a Warriors kind of player. He needs the rock in his hands. And I'm curious, you know, how do you see Golden State kind of moving towards an ISO pick-and-roll offense with him and Steph who can create on their own?
Well, it's interesting. I've not seen anybody come in here and be absolutely stymied by the system. I think it's a basketball player's dream because the ball's not sticky, Kev. It moves. And if you hold it more than a count or two, something's wrong. And if you're pounding the ball on the dribble, something's wrong. So the ball moves, players move. Players like playing like this. They're indoctrinated to do the best they can on defense, get stops, get defensive boards, then get out in the open floor. And that's where you really get a lot of joy playing the game. And I think he's just going to fit in really well.
So the conversation around this trade is, yes, this is a big move for Golden State, but perhaps it sets up something else down the road.
Yeah.
You have a couple of months till the trade deadline. So Mike Dunleavy was asked about how aggressive Golden State will be in the trade market, and this is what he had to say in today's press conference.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're always aggressive. You know, you got to be mindful of what you're giving up, what you're getting back, all those things. But anything to do to make the team better, we're going to do. We're in a time zone here of maximizing our window with Steph and Draymond and Steve as our coach. So as proven here on the first day, we could basically make trades with certain players. We did that and we'll continue to look at things. But, you know, for the most part, I feel good about this team, particularly on the defensive end. And now we add a player that we think can create and generate more offense for us. I want to evaluate and see, but we'll always be looking at stuff.
Well, that's the truth. He's just laying it out there for you. And nothing's more indicative than the game that Schroeder had against the Warriors when they played earlier in the season. And, you know, this guy wants to win. You know, I go back when he was on the Lakers championship team. And LeBron and those guys respected him. I talked to my son Greg a lot about him. And he said, yeah, he can be a pain. But let me tell you what, he wants to compete and he wants to win. Well, if you're coaching, that's what the heck you want on your roster.
Yeah. Dennis was on that team that made it to the Western Conference Finals in 23. He was also on the Lakers a couple of years before that. He's played with the Thunder. He's played with the Hawks. He's played with the Celtics. He's played with the Nets. He's played with the Raptors. He's played all over the league. And he's having a near career year, third highest scoring average in a season at 18.4, 6.6 assists per game, the most he's ever averaged. He's shooting 39% from three on nearly seven attempts per game. So that's a big player to bring in. And the other side of this is that you're really not giving up anything by losing DeAnthony Melton. Now he looked like he was the answer at shooting guard alongside Stephen Curry. That experiment lasted two games with him in the starting lineup before the ACL tear. And but the thing is, he's going to be a free agent again. And saying, I hate to put it this way, but there's a decent chance that the Warriors can get him for even cheaper next year if they want to bring him back, just because he's had so many injuries and he only played six games this year.
No, that's the reality of the NBA. And, you know, he got a heck of a contract, but it, coming off an ACL, your numbers are not going to be as high. And if he rehabs terrific and shows that he's really capable, the short the time that we got to watch him, we all really liked him. And there's a market for guys like that because he's a multi-position player on both ends of the floor. So we wish him well.
Yeah, a quick Dennis Schroeder personal story I have. I actually met Dennis Schroeder in Bakersfield, of all places, on my 27th birthday 11 years ago now. So why was Dennis Schroeder in Bakersfield, you might be wondering? Well, his rookie year, the Atlanta Hawks were affiliated with the Bakersfield Jam of the G League.
Oh, my gosh.
This was before every team had a one-to-one affiliation. Bakersfield had like five NBA teams that they could get assignment players from, and that would get kind of really tricky. If you had a guy from the Nets, a guy from the Hawks, a guy from the Raptors, it could get a little all over the place. And none of these places were really all that close. I guess Phoenix was one of their affiliates, but outside of that, they had some Eastern Conference teams, and so after this game that they played on my birthday, Hilton Armstrong, A, found out he was getting called up to the Golden State Warriors, and he became the first player in NBA history to wear the number 57. And after that, after this game, I went to celebrate my birthday at In-N-Out, and who did I run into? Dennis Schroeder at In-N-Out. Very nice guy. Really enjoyed talking. Really enjoyed talking with Dennis Schroeder. Good dude. I'm sure he has no recollection of that.
That's terrific.
Anyways, for a limited time, folks, secure the biggest games of the season with the Full Court Press mini plan. Includes marquee matchups against the Los Angeles Lakers, the Boston Celtics, the defending champions, the Dallas Mavericks, who the Warriors saw last night, the Phoenix Suns, the Knicks, and more. Available now at Warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives are standing by. Now, there is another side to this trade. We'll talk about Reese Beekman on the other side of this timeout. We'll talk about what this trade means for the Brooklyn Nets for a little bit, and then we got to get into a couple of rough losses, the Dallas Mavericks and the Houston Rockets. We'll give you our NBA Cup Finals prediction on the other side of this break. And when we come back, we are doing a ticket giveaway, and we are going to give you a first in Golden State Warriors history that's related to this Brooklyn Nets trade. What is that? You'll find out on the other side of this break right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Dub Nation, spend the holidays on Warriors ground. Join us live at Chase Center Monday, December 23rd as the Warriors face the Indiana Pacers. Get your tickets now at Warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by. And folks, as promised, it's time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Call the contest line at 415-523-4652. And if you are caller number 7, you will get a pair of tickets. We'll announce the winner later on, and we will be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. Of course, if you want to talk with the Saint and myself, 888-957-9570. How are you feeling about the Dennis Schroeder trade? What do you like about it? Is there anything you don't like about it? Let us know. 888-957-9570 again is the number. But all right, let's get into the other part of this trade quickly, because I had a chance to see a lot of Reese Beekman, and Gary and I saw him in Summer League as we did those games at the California Classic. Reese Beekman has been on a two-way contract with the Santa Cruz Warriors and the Golden State Warriors, and he had been killing it in Santa Cruz, leading the G League in steals, top 10 in assists, averaging 18.7 points, 2.8 steals, a reliable crunch time score. And Gary, I think this is a great move for Reese because Brooklyn very clearly wants to increase its lottery odds. And now that Schroeder is out of the picture, and Ben Simmons, he's probably not going to play every game, they don't have a ton of ball handlers. So Reese Beekman, he could fill an immediate void and get some playing time right away and potentially be moved off a two-way contract, get kind of a full roster spot.
Well, you never know when an opportunity is going to open for you. And this is perfect for him, just as you broke it down. And I remember sitting there with you and you said, Saint, watch this guy. I really like him. And heck of a career at Virginia. And I'm happy for the guy because I love how hard he plays and how smart he plays. You know, it's another example of the G League. If I was another team, I would really keep an eye on Santa Cruz. And the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, you tipped us off on the Jerome kid who's in Cleveland. What a nice thing going on for him there. So here you got a couple stories where guys have been there and got their game recognized and getting an opportunity or capitalizing on it. And good luck to him. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, a great move for Reese Beekman. I wish him the best of luck over there in Brooklyn. Well, if you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570, and we will head out to the phone lines now. Let's hear from Big Al in San Francisco. What's up, Big Al?
Kevin, how you doing? Stan, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, Big Al.
So just was calling in. You know, I have some pretty strong feelings about the trade that we made with the Nets the other day.
Yeah.
We picked up a guy that can handle the ball. We picked up a guy that's not going to turn the ball over very much. He's not a terrible defender, and he's going to stabilize the offense in situations where we kind of need to slow it down instead of playing very chaotic. After Curry, whenever Curry would go off the floor, playing different, you know, different players, mostly Pajemski, they were not handling the ball well. There were more turnovers, and the offense didn't have any flow. And this guy's going to settle that down. We haven't had a player like that in that type of role in a while. We tried it with Paul, but there was just too much other stuff going on, and that didn't necessarily work. I think it's a great trade for the Warriors. I wish Beekman well. I hope it works out for him. I'm sure it will. But this is a move for this year. It's not a move for next year or the year after. This is a move about getting in a position to get a playoff spot and not a play-in spot and possibly going a little deeper to playoffs.
Well, Big Al, Merry Christmas to you. Boy, you just hit a home run. You're spot on in everything that you shared with us. And I think Kevin and I totally agree. So we're excited about this. You bring in somebody new and can give you a shot in the arm and maybe get you going a little bit. It's great. It's a tough two-game trip here to Memphis and Minnesota and then come back home for the holiday. And, I think everybody feels really good about this deal.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Big Al. We appreciate it. And to Big Al's point with respect to not turning the ball over a ton, he has a better than 2.5-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, 6.6 assists to 2.6 turnovers. So that's some really good stuff. We do want to give a shout out to David in Fremont, who is our winner for a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. So big shout out to David in Fremont for that. So I promised some history with this trade, with this Warriors Nets trade. Reese Beekman is the first two-way player that Golden State has ever traded while on a two-way contract. Now, they traded for a player on a two-way contract in Julian Washburn. You might remember his father, Chris Washburn, a few years ago. But yeah, Julian Washburn made it to the NBA. He had grinded in the G League for a few years, got a two-way contract in Memphis. I believe that he was part of the Andre Iguodala trade to the Memphis Grizzlies. I'd have to double-check that, but I think he was a part of that deal. I was checking the history on two-way trades with Ryan Atkinson in the Golden State front office, former Santa Cruz Warriors GM, and thank you to Ryan for checking my info for me. But this is the first time that the Warriors have ever traded a player who is currently on the Warriors on a two-way contract.
That's a heck of a stat. But you're making me chuckle talking about Chris Washburn. Now, most of the listeners probably don't remember him. Maybe they're too young to remember him. But he was here, I don't know, what do you want to say, late 80s? And, the vet guys were there, were Sleepy Floyd and Larry Smith and some of those guys. And they told him, you know, you don't want to be conspicuous around town. And the next thing you know, he's riding down East 14th Street in Oakland with an orange Corvette with these special kind of wheels. And he's getting all kinds of guys yelling at him and all that kind of thing. That guy just couldn't keep his way out of trouble. He was a character. He was talented, but he walked his way out of the league.
Yeah, he was the number 3 overall pick in the 1986.
NC 86,
wow. 86, and so Unfortunately, he only played 72 games over 2 years in the NBA, played for the Warriors for like a season and change, and then finished up the 88 season with the Atlanta Hawks, and then fortunately got eventually banned from the NBA. But yeah, Chris Washburn certainly had a high ceiling. Julian Washburn was a guy who really grinded for it in the G League. I had a lot of respect for him. He was a really good shooter, really good player, and I think probably still playing professionally somewhere. He's probably like 32 right now. So a good dude. Wish Julian the best. So as we move on here on Warriors Roundtable, and again, we're taking your calls, 888-957-9570. If you have more thoughts on the Dennis Schroeder trade, let us know. If you want to get into these losses that the Warriors recently had to drop to 14-11, well, that's where we're going right now, so we'd be happy to get your opinion on them. And let's start with the game last night, 143-133 to the Dallas Mavericks. And you know, I stopped being frustrated about that game about maybe 5 minutes into it, and I just became completely entertained. The shot making was incredible from Dallas. And yes, there were defensive breakdowns aplenty for Golden State. But at some point, you do have to tip your cap, because Luka Doncic was on one last night. 45, 11, and 13, not too shabby.
Kev, I feel the same way as you. You know, you're watching the first period, you give up, what, 45 points, and, you know, you're going back and forth, and at the half, you've made, what, 18 threes, and the assist-turnover ratio for both teams was like 30, I want to say 35-7 or something like that. You just had to sit back and say, holy moly, what a game. The shot-making was amazing, and you mentioned Luka. You know, I look at him, and, you know, old purist guys say, what the heck would he do if he ever got in great shape? I mean, you know, he's always banged up, and he's like playing in the Champions League in Europe soccer. I mean, he's flopping all the time and complaining to the refs. But in the meantime, great players, you cannot speed them up. They play at their pace. I'll go back to Magic and Larry Bird and those kind of guys. You'd say, oh, I want you to deny Bird the ball on the wing. And he'd walk you down, he'd give you an inside shoulder and pop and catch. And it was just so simple. And you watch Luka, he's so gifted, Kevin. He's an amazing, amazing player. And, you know, we got to admit, there's no doubt in my mind, they're one of the top two teams in the West with Oklahoma City. And they've gone through a great run. I don't know, out of 15, I think they've won 12 out of 15, and a bunch of them were on the road. They're really playing at a beautiful level. They've made some terrific deals. They shored up their point guard position. They went out and got some, you know, more rebound. I really, really like their team. I think they're terrific.
So you're saying they're better than the 18-9 Memphis Grizzlies?
Yeah, I would today. If you want to get me into it, I'm crazy. I do this stuff all the time. I got OKC, Dallas, and then I'm flipping a coin here. I've got Minnesota, Denver, Houston, Phoenix, and Memphis.
Okay.
Memphis, to me, they should have beat the Lakers last night. Phoenix, somebody's going to get hurt. Houston is too young. Denver doesn't have the depth that they have. Minnesota, I don't know, they can really defend. But at the end of the day, I'm not sold on them. But those would be my first seven.
Okay.
And then after that, there's five teams. And I think one of them will slide out, and that would be Sacramento. So, excuse me, the Spurs. So then I've, in no order, I've got the Clippers, the Warriors, the Lakers, and Sacramento. And I can't tell you what's going to happen here. How's Leonard going to play? How's the Schroeder going to affect the Warriors? The Lakers just don't have any depth. They're just really hurting in terms of depth. And Sacramento's bench is not very productive right now. They've got Ellis and Lyle, and that's about it. Their starters are terrific. So here it is, getting close to Christmas, and I'm breaking down the West really easily because I'm convinced of something. I know Utah, Portland, and the Pelicans are not getting in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a pretty
I'm going out on a limb, Kevin.
I will go out on that limb with you. But to go back to last night's game, I mean, the Dallas Mavericks, for a long while, were shooting well above 60% from the field. I mean, you mentioned it, the 46 points in the first quarter. They finished with 143. They hit 21 threes. And it's just, I mean, the Warriors hit 27 threes and had 39 assists to 10 turnovers.
And you lose.
And you lose by 10.
Like, that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
You get in a game like that, and you know, guys are playing hard. And then sometimes great offense beats good defense. And there was just some phenomenal shot making. And I brought out the point of getting, what's his name, Lively and Washington and Gafford. What a difference that makes for this team in terms of rebounding and defense. And, you know, look at Clay. What a night. He looks so fired up, like in the post-game interview. He's running around and... That's got to be a great feeling for him. It really got to be.
Yeah. So did you think it was more good offense than just bad defense from Golden State?
Yeah, I really think so. It's one of those nights. Because by and large, I'm going to give this team a very solid grade defensively. Deflections, steals, they're good on the defensive board. They play together. They rotate well, led by Draymond. And... That's probably their calling card. They're one of the better defensive teams in the entire league. But you just hit something last night that was like a meteor flying through the sky, or you know, maybe one of those drones that's flying up and down the East Coast. I sat back and watched that and I said, holy moly. I was involved with one game like that. We opened the season in Denver. I think it was the opening game, or maybe not. We beat Denver, I think it was 162-158.
Yeah.
And Paul Westhead was coaching them. And they had Alex English, and they had a great team, Fat Lever. And so they said they were going to run us off the court. And, boy, that's all Nelly had to hear. And you know what? Back in those days, we flew commercial, and then we read the newspaper. A newspaper? What the heck is that? And we got little tidbits about other teams. And all Nelly had to do was read that, and he said, hey, fellas, we're in shape. Let's see if they want to run with us. He said, I'm going to make you a promise, because you're playing in Denver. If you get winded, put your hand up, and I'm going to take you out. But I guarantee I'm going to put you back in within 2 minutes. And, my God, it was like a rotating, it was like playing roulette, guys running off the court because they were exhausted. And what a game. And then that got topped by Denver playing Detroit in triple overtime. I think Detroit scored 182 points, the highest ever in the NBA.
I was just going to bring that game up. It was the highest scoring game in NBA history. It was 186-184.
Okay, I stand corrected. You're right.
Those Nuggets teams in the 80s,
Doug Moe. He was priceless. I got to tell you what. he was heck of a player in the ABA with Larry Brown. But coaching wise, oh my God, he what a great guy! I just always love seeing him at All Star or league meetings. Just so down to earth, but boy, his guys loved him. He those guys just played beautiful ball.
So to bring it back to last night's game, I'm going to make kind of Dusty Baker was known as a feel manager. He just managed based off feel. And so this is, I don't have any science to back up what I'm about to say. It's just off of feeling. Because we've talked about how the Warriors have had offensive issues. Everyone's kind of seen it. The last 10 games, they've been like one of the worst teams in offensive efficiency. I'm not sure that they really fixed much offensively last night, despite scoring 133. Like, if Dallas scored 113 in this game, and I have no science to back this up, I don't think the Warriors score 133. Like, it just felt like the game kind of dictated that the Warriors score more, and that just the flow of the game, teams like shot making begat more shot making in that one. So I don't really feel like, oh, this was an offensive, like the offense has been fixed for Golden State because of last night's game. I just thought, hey, both teams were making a lot of shots.
I buy into that breakdown 200%. You're spot on.
Yeah, so that's what I felt about that game. It was good to see them score 133 because the game before, they scored 90 and 0 in the last 2.5 minutes. Remind me if you've heard that before. Of course, the Nuggets game not too long ago, the last NBA Cup group play game. So let's start with the controversial finish in this one, Saint, the 91-90 loss. We'll start with the foul on Jonathan Kuminga, which maybe, sure, foul by the book, whatever. That's what the last two-minute report said. I don't know how you call that in a game that was that physical.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to take it another way. You know who I'm talking about. Bill Kennedy was the crew chief, and he made the call. And if you ever ask him to do the replay button at midcourt, it makes you think that we're maybe hearing a Broadway soliloquy. I mean, he's beautiful to listen to, and he's a great, great guy.
Yep.
He's human. He blew it. And the referee, the league covered him. In our league, there's an unwritten rule, late game. Make the players win the game. Don't make a call that's going to bail them out. Well, how do you make a call from three-quarter court? Now, when you look at it, you could say to him, say, no, you know, Kuminga had him, you know, he's holding him up. Yeah, you could say that. I agree with you. But at least they should have said, oh, he called timeout. Let him have the timeout. But to call the foul? Oh, my gosh. I mean, I don't blame Steve at all. Not one iota of just being livid about the play because he's been in the game, cripe, almost as long as I was. And you never see something like that. And it was just a tough way to lose. But it takes you now to the next. You're going to break it down. And now you're talking about Steph's shot with 11 seconds, and he could have ran the clock down the three.
Yep.
Now, I had a couple guys text me and say, what is he doing? That's a bad shot. And you know what I texted him back? I said, listen, if you're the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA, and you got a wide open shot from the top of the key or the three line, you got to have the green light. I mean, he's going to make that 8 out of 10 times. He's wide open. So I didn't have a problem with that at all. A lot of people are upset with it. But the inability in the last, 3 minutes to get quality shots, that was troublesome. And the fact that, what did they have, 5 or 6 24-second violations?
6.
So that can't happen. That's a lack of focus to me. And that's not working without the ball to get yourself open to get a catch. That means you're tired or you're hanging around or you're just, oh, it comes to me now. And now I that to me was a not good execution at all.
Yeah, the 6 shot clock violations, by the way, I got this from Sam Gordon's article for the San Francisco Chronicle. It was the tied for second most shot clock violations in an NBA game in the last 25 seasons. That's from Sam Gordon of the SF Chronicle. So, yeah, I mean, 6 shot clock violations, and a couple of them happened late, at least 2 in the final couple of minutes. Their 2.5-minute offense, 0-for-3 and 4 turnovers after it was 90-84.
Yeah. Amazing. And then we didn't even bring up, oh, gosh, I got my glass of wine. I was yelling at the TV because Steph got nailed on that 3-point shot.
Hammered, yeah.
So, you know, I'm getting old. And I said to my son, Greg, I said, why didn't they get a replay? He said, Dad, you can't get a replay if there wasn't a foul called. I said, I stand corrected.
That's exactly it.
So, you know what? I got to get straightened out every once in a while. But that was unbelievable that 3 guys missed that. That blew my mind. That was crazy.
And now, if you talk to people around the country, they'll kind of roll your eyes when you say something like this, what I'm about to say. But for a guy who is a superstar in the league and who drives ratings like Stephen Curry, he certainly doesn't seem to get many calls.
Couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, I mean, and I'm telling you now, let's go back to when he first came in. He didn't go in the paint. He got sent into the third row. And now he's taken such great care of himself, and he's gotten so much stronger, and he's tricky in the paint. But he does get nailed. And he just doesn't get the calls. I'm with you. I see guys get to the free throw line a lot, and I'm saying they don't deserve to get there more than him.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. I want to go back to the foul on Jonathan Kuminga. And yes, we both agree that should not have been called, and I do not like blaming officials. I'm with you. Yeah, you know, since Kevin Brill cost me a Pac-10 championship at UCLA with Stanford men's basketball, I try to refrain from blaming officials with the foul that they hooked Lawrence Hill on against Darren Collison, but that's for another day. I will say this. If Jonathan Kuminga is the first to the floor on that loose ball, Golden State wins that game. He got out hustled.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know what? There's just a rule of thumb. First guy to the floor, he usually gets the call. So you're spot on. Yeah.
And I know that instinct takes over in situations like that. But if I'm not saying Jonathan shouldn't have jumped after it, because I mean, like, you see a loose ball, you're trying to get a tie up there. Whatever, like, at that point, it's kind of a free for all, and you don't expect to get a foul call in that situation. But if Jonathan just doesn't jump on the floor after Jalen Green, like, what is he going to do with the ball on the floor with 3.5 seconds left, 75 feet loop? I mean, just they'll probably just call the timeout, and then they have that much time left to win.
Exactly. Or you get in a Denver situation where that guy Braun's calling timeout verbally, and yet the league said, no, that was okay. Nothing there.
Yeah, when they didn't have a timeout.
Remember that?
What again, the Warriors, the ball and a free throw. That was another frustrating one. There. Don't worry, there is no anti-Golden State deep stay in the NBA. I guarantee you that. There's no conspiracy here, but there have been a couple of curious calls, as the next opponent's head coach Taylor Jenkins might say. He loves that word.
Yeah,
curious.
I like that. Yeah.
Going back with Golden State. But Saint, this was just such a physical game, and there were only 25 combined foul calls, which is why that Kuminga foul call seemed so egregious.
Yeah. And that game truly reminded me of the 90s. That was a physical game. Yeah. And they've got a really athletic young team. They don't have a lot of rhyme or reason what they're doing on the offensive end. But one thing they do, they play hard and they defend. And Udoka's done a terrific job there. You know, he's got some pop in him. And what I'm talking about is Popovich. You know, he was an assistant there, and he played for Pop too.
Yep.
And he's. I love his he puts the demands on these guys, and if you're not going to do it, you're not going to play. And that's they're creating a heck of an identity for themselves. But if you can tell me what Green is going to do night in and night out, I'll get you a beautiful bottle of wine.
Yeah, he is a very up and down roller coaster of a hooper. But folks, join us at Chase Center on December 20th for the Invisalign Barrier Women's Classic. Don't miss Stanford versus the Ohio State University at 5:30 p.m. Stanford getting a nice win over UT San Antonio today. And then top-ranked UCLA against Creighton at 8 p.m. Get your tickets now at chasecenter.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll break down the Memphis Grizzlies game coming up, and we'll give you our NBA Cup Finals prediction. Who you got, Oklahoma City or Milwaukee? All that's coming up on the other side of this break, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors next in action Thursday at Memphis against the Grizzlies, 4:30 on the air, 5 p.m. tip time with Tim Roy on the call. Then they wrap up a two-game road trip in Minnesota on Saturday the 21st, 4:30 on the air, 5 p.m. tip time. Returning home to take on the Indiana Pacers Monday, December 23rd. Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert on the call, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. Then the Christmas Day game presented by Chase Freedom. Warriors and Lakers at Chase Center, 4:30 on the air, 5 p.m. tip time. Then the Warriors go down to L.A. to take on the Clippers, their second trip to the Intuit Dome, as the Warriors and Clippers will go on the air at 6:30 and tipping at 7 p.m. I just had a fantastic finish between the Pistons and Heat in overtime. Detroit winning 125-124 despite Jimmy Butler, whose name has been thrown around some trade rumors, going for 35, 19, 10, and 4 steals in that game. But we just talked about our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster here on Warriors Roundtable. So up first, the Memphis Grizzlies. They're 18-9. They lost their last game, but they've won 8 out of their last 10. The last time these teams played, Steve Kerr apologized to the fans because it got kind of ugly. 123-118, just a lot of fouls, physical, game took forever. What'd you take away from that game? What are your thoughts on this upcoming matchup?
Well, when I look at that team, they've got a threesome in Morant, Bain, and Jackson. Wow, that's a heck of a trio. Then they've got a bunch of guys that I can't even give you all their names, but they play so hard. The kid Clark, and how do you pronounce his name? Altuve? Or
You're thinking of Jose Altuve, I think, of the Houston Astros. Santi Aldama. Santiago Aldama.
I'm going to tell you, I watched them play the Lakers, and they're just impressive. They play. They don't run hardly any pick and roll. It's all about paint penetration and finish or pitch out to three balls, and they get out in the open floor because Jackson's one of the best big defenders we have in the league. He's special. He can really block shots. You got to watch him at the three-point line. He's a righty, but he loves to go left when he goes to the rim. And I don't know what Morant's up to. Now he's saying he's not going to dunk anymore. But boy, that is one heck of an athlete. Holy moly. And I'm going to say this quietly because I don't want them to hear me. Let Bane keep taking 10 shots. That's okay with me. Okay. Because that guy there, oh my gosh, I love that guy. He is so strong and gets to anywhere he wants to with beautiful balance. He's a heck of a player.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up that comment about Ja Morant saying he's not going to dunk as much, and he said that. Then, like, a few days later, he had, like, the nastiest reverse dunk in traffic against the Boston Celtics that you'll ever see.
Yeah, he's pretty darn special. If you ask anybody in the league, they got a wealth of respect for him.
Yeah.
That's going to be – Kev, that's a tough two-game trip.
It is.
Because you got two teams that are really feeling good about themselves, and they're very good at home. They're going to be tough ball games.
And with respect to the Memphis game, Saint, I know this is game 26 of 82, but for game 26, it's almost as close to a must win for Golden State as you can get at a third of the way through the season for me, because you don't want to. You did so much good work to get 9 games above 500 to 12-3. A loss here would dip you to just 2 games above 500. And look, the Dubs are going to be well rested. This would be their third game in 9 days, just fourth in 12 days. And this just feels like one. Look, I know Memphis is playing really good basketball. They've won 8 out of 10. They're 18-9 on the season. They have the second best record in the Western Conference. This is a team you've beat before, and this is a game that if you want to make a move up the standings, this is a game you're going to have to win.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know what? And you've got the experience. You've got the crew of guys. You know, my speech all year has been about Kuminga and Wiggins, and you know, I think they're playing better. And you know, Draymond, we know Steph, and we know about Looney, and you know, you want a little more consistency out of Hield and Podzimski. But, you know, it's a game that if you play it at a good, solid level, you're going to have a good chance to win.
How would you play Dennis Schroeder in his first game with Golden State?
Well, I you know, I'm a Nelly disciple, so I'm going to bring him right out there. I may not start him, but he's going to get minutes. There's no doubt about it. And he's going to play his way off the floor. And I'm a big believer in that, because there's something positive about coming over in a trade. And guys, your team, these new teammates, they want you to do well. So you've got a little positive energy about you. And as I said before, this guy doesn't back down to anybody. I mean, I'll just watch if he gets matched up with Morant. That's going to be fun to watch. That'll be good stuff.
It really is. It'll be interesting to see if he's going to actually start on Thursday. But it seems like with the talk around this trade, that Dennis Schroeder, sooner or later, he's going to be in the starting lineup.
And it makes sense. It really does. And Steve's great, his staff, at figuring out the rotation so that when Steph comes off, that he would be on the floor. Because you gave a great breakdown before about the points with Steph on the floor versus off the floor. And this guy could, he's a very, very good pick and roll player. So, you know, you can get Davis, Looney, Green, Kuminga, any of those guys involved with him. And you know what? I'm crazy. I like this thing that they do quite a bit where they run pick and roll where a big, like Draymond has the ball. Well, you can run small if you think you got a mismatch and Steph can kick somebody's fanny, then let Steph set the screen, pick and pop, give it back to him, and he's got the matchup he wants. The NBA game is so much about matchups, and you want to get the ball in places where guys feel the most comfortable to succeed. And I think that Steve and the guys do a great job with that.
I've got about 4 minutes left here on Warriors Roundtable. If you want to sneak in, last shot, 957-9570. Again, that number, 888-957-9570. The last few minutes, let's talk a little bit about the NBA Cup Finals. Last year, the in-season tournament championship game, the Lakers defeating the Indiana Pacers. I was actually in the house for that one. Oklahoma City and the Milwaukee Bucks. Who you got, Saint?
Well, I'm going to give you utmost respect for Oklahoma City. I told you Sam Presti's got the Massachusetts roots, and so does Dagno. He's from the Worcester area. Mm-hmm. And that young guy has done a fantastic job coaching there. Wow. And I'm also going to give some praise to Jenkins with Memphis. These are two young guys, and you probably know them because I think they were in the G League.
I actually do know both of them. I know and Mark pretty well.
Yeah, I got to just give those two guys a ton of praise. I can just feel, watching their teams play, I can feel the respect that these players have for these coaches, and he's done a fantastic job with Oklahoma City. And isn't that a great lead-in to tell you that I'm going to take Milwaukee because they coached it for 7 years? And there's something in my heart about Milwaukee. I just love the place. I'm marveling at the way Adekunpo's playing. I just, wow. It's so beautiful to watch him play. I mean, and I saw a clip today on the NBA Today show, and it showed him talking to his team before they went on the floor the last game. It was just fantastic leadership. And he just never gives you a night where he's just not giving you great effort. And I love the way Lillard's playing now. He looks happy and content and playing like Dame Dollar up there in Portland. And their key for them, Portis isn't right yet. I don't know what's going on with him. But they need him to step up. And the other two guys are the vet guys. Middleton, who's been injured. And then, Lopez has been in and out. So it's a team that's made just a miraculous turnaround. They got a lot of veterans. I think it's going to be about a 100-point game.
Yeah,
I'm pulling for Milwaukee, but I think that OKC might win.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma City just has too many defensive weapons. Now, they don't have anyone who really matches up with Giannis. Not that anybody has anyone that matches up with Giannis, who's averaging a career-high 32.7 points per game this year, by the way. But, I mean, you look at Lou Dort, Alex Caruso, Cason Wallace, Jalen Williams, the rim protectors. Obviously, Chet isn't all the way right now, but Isaiah Hartenstein has stepped in, done a really good job. I mean, they suffocated the Houston Rockets in the semifinals, limiting them to 37% shooting. And I am with you. I think this is a Lawler's Law kind of game. First to 100
wins.
There
you go. I love it, Kim. That's beautiful.
Yeah, there is a website. We'll end on this. There is a website. I think it's lawlerslaw.com or .org, something like that.
That's great.
That tracks this. And I think, like, the last time I checked it, the first team to 100 points in an NBA game has won, like, 93% of the time. 92-93% of the time. So Jerry Lawler.
Such a great guy. That's beautiful.
Ralph Lawler, excuse me. Jerry Lawler's the king.
God, I love that.
But, yeah. yeah, it was it very much tracks. So it should be a fun one tomorrow, Saint. I'm looking forward to hopefully having a chance to watch it. I'll be down in L.A. for the L.A. Bowl, Cal and UNLV. But should be a good one between,
nice.
The Golden Bears looking for win number 7 on the season. Hopefully they can get it. All right, that'll do it for us. Big thank you to R.C. Davis and Marika Kleto on the Warriors side of things. Mark Grandy, the man behind the glass for us in the studios in San Francisco. Big thanks to him. For Gary St. Jean, I'm Kevin Dennis saying sayonara. We'll talk to you actually in the new year. I believe we're off for the next couple of weeks, but we will talk to you soon here on Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step left wing three. Cha-ching! 48-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.